meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining Latin Generation Panel call on the 23rd of August 2018. In the call, we have Bill, Dennis, Hassem, Marjana, and Pitinan. Over to you, Marjana.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm also connected.
Michael is here. That's nice. You are on the phone, Michael.
I'm on the phone. I'm still unable to connect on Adobe Connect. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand your problems. Okay.
I just want to make sure that I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Okay. So, please, Dennis, will you help us to see what was the problems we should discuss today about Latin Cyrillic cross script in Latin Cyrillic cross script analysis? Sorry.
Thank you, Marjana. Yes, we can just jump ahead to the pending items one.
Yes.
The first one being Latin small letter open E with Cyrillic small letter Ukrainian. Yeah. That's on page, I don't have a page number. So, yep. PD9, you got it right. That's the one.
Yeah. That's the one we should discuss.
Yeah. So here, there's a difference in disagreement in the score, some of which something are distinguishable, other thing is nearly identical, so we need to no other choice but put it to a vote whether to include it or exclude it from the candidate.
MM is Michael, I suppose so.
Yeah, and I should note that the Cyrillic panel did not find these two copoints to be variants of each other.
Okay, that's good to know. And our scores are not very low. I mean, we have four threes and two twos. So, Michael, what do you think?
Sorry, I'm still not connected to Adobe Connect, so I don't even know what you're talking about right now, and I don't remember the specific example.
Yeah, Dennis, please read the Michael's discussion because it is too small on my screen. I cannot repeat it.
Sure. So we are, Michael, for your benefit, since you are not able to see the screen, we are discussing the variant relationship between the Latin small letter open E, coupon 025B against the Cyrillic small letter Ukrainian E. This letter E looks like a inverted number 3, if you will, if that helps. And you have a comment here on August 2nd, which states, we need to have a discussion on the differences between handwritten and typed text and the impact on variant considerations. Does that help, Michael?
So, as you can imagine, it's difficult. Listen, I'm about to open the Google Docs file in my browser. I'm waiting for it to load.
Okay. So let's
wait. What is the code point number, please?
It's 025B. But let's wait, since you are in the process of opening the document, let's wait for you to see the information on your with your own eyes. Bill has his hands up.
B as in Berlin?
B as in Berlin, yes.
Latin small letter open E and Cyrillic small letter Ukrainian E.
Correct.
Yes, so I think this is like the usual kind of variation you could encounter in between typed and handwritten So I think this is within the, it's basically the same discussion we already had the last time on the concept I was trying to explain. So what I'm trying to say is that there is a certain variation in handwriting style, where this may be the same letter for a person. So the same person or different person may write the same letter with such variation as is encountered here at the level of fonts and graphic representation in a computerized form. Since, however, the handwriting is closely connected to the basis of cognition, that is, people recognize letters without looking at specific graphic features. They recognize them automatically, and they have certain cues which they take to distinguish certain letters from one another. So what I'm saying is this is, in my personal view, clearly within the variation encounters. So I would consider this a variant, because it may be a variant in the mind of readers and writers. This is the basic idea. Does that help?
I understand what you're saying, yes. Thank you. Bill?
I would just second what Mikel has been saying. We're dealing here with human perceptions. That, after all, is why we put a generation panel together rather than just having a computer generate the ones that were identical. And this is the difference between these two is small enough that, yes, if you have them side by side and look closely, you can tell, yeah, they're a little bit similar. On the other hand, if you are merely encountering it in the course of a TLD, it will never occur to you that they're different. Thank you.
Any other input?
I'm just trying to see it a little bit better, because I have a very small screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we look at the visual features from a point of view of pixels, yes, there are differences. You can mm-hmm. see that one has a more round shape, that is the Cyrillic form, whereas the other clearly has two separated elements interconnected. But if you consider, for example, that, just think of, for example, the currency sign for euro. It is also derived from the letter shape on the left-hand side, I would say, without having analyzed this, like, linguistically or historically. And if you see it in the printed form, the way it's put on currency notes, on bank notes, you can see that they also put, for example, this round shape instead of a bipartite shape you have on the left-hand side. Then in some of those forms, like the third set of pair, you can see that there is a more, I don't even know how to put it in English. Like, you have some limitations on the right-hand side which are more pronounced somehow. I'm certain a graphic font designer would be able to explain those differences in more technical language. My point is, this is within the usual variation recognized. So even though, to take the example I was just giving about the currency symbol for the euro, so even though any user of LatinGP is able to recognize the difference between Latin small letter open E, and, for example, a euro currency sign, they would still say, yeah, it's kind of like a, it still say it's kind of like a type of E, because within their mind, it's within the range of variation they learned for that particular letter shape. So in this particular case, I would say, even though there are graphic differences in font sets we picked out, I would argue that this is clearly within the range of variation encountered in handwriting, so this may lead to cognitive differences, difficulties for user to tell these systematically apart. And since we're about preventing confusion and preventing security risks, such as spoofing, I think we should go opt for a conservative strategy and consider these variant shapes, even though strictly from a point of view of like pixel by pixel, they may look different. Again, I hope that helps. Sorry if I'm talking too much, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill? Is that Wuhan?
Yes. It is, amazingly enough, it is a new hand. I didn't just forget. This brings us back to the discussion that we had last Thursday about the need to take a conservative approach, which is to say, if we include something that later discussion decides shouldn't have been a variant, that's easy to fix. If we say something isn't a variant and decide later it should have been, that can become extremely difficult to fix. And so I would say better to put it in if the integration panel looks at it and says, nah, you've totally misunderstood what we want. Okay, then we know. But I think we do nobody a service by leaving it out. Thank you.
Mirjana.
Yeah, I want to say the following. When we produce our variants, I mean Latin and Cyrillic, Cyrillic panel will be contacted for their opinion. And we can hear in the future what was their reason why they didn't include it. So I'm also on the side that we should include it in this path and see the future development which will be about this letter. I don't see that it will be any harm if we include it and we can drop it later, because there are more people during, at least at this call, who are for inclusion of this letter with point two, not point one, because they are not homogeneous.
Thank you, Mirjana. Hassem is out. All right, so I think it's a consensus right now that this is the inclining for inclusion.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Okay. Hassem wants to say something also.
Hassem, please.
Yes.
Sorry, I missed you.
I'm not out. I agree with Bill's theory about including it is better than leaving it and then not be able to leave it out, to take it out later. So, I mean, taking it as a variant.
I'm sorry, Hassem, you are, at least on my end, you are in and
yeah.
out. Can you speak closer to your mic? Perhaps increase the volume of your mic. That's better.
I'm through the mobile today, so that's fine.
Got it. Yeah, that's better.
I mean, I'm with Bill's opinion that leaving it out, excluding it for now, is better than including it and not be able to exclude it later. So I agree with that.
Okay, so that's an include then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, as a variant, yes, included.
Yeah.
I just have one question. If we include it in our variant list, doesn't the Cyrillic panel has to include it too? So it was same.
Mayan, so your question is, if we put this as a candidate and the IP accepts it, I believe somehow they have to impose that to the Cyrillic proposal as well, because variant relationship have to be symmetric.
Yes.
So if they accept their variant relationship with our proposal, they will have to impose that same relationship in the Cyrillic LGR proposal.
Yes, you are right.
For all variants and for all scripts, other scripts too. Greek scripts.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. If the Greeks found something, it will, because of the transitivity property, it will also affect the Latin proposal as well. So, yes.
So there has to be somewhere that where all are collected together. All of all variants collect in one place.
Correct. Yes, yes. Once the IP decides to set all of these and integrate the three different proposals, it will become one variant set, potentially with multiple scripts. That's the way it works. Okay. So we are resolving this as an include and moving along. Next case. This is a new case based on the inclusion of 1EE5. That is 1ECHO5 with Cyrillic small letter. I don't know how to say it. Okay. Right. And when analyzing this case, we need to take in mind the previous one. Pitinan, can you scroll up or maybe zoom out a bit so that we can see the case one above? Because what happened is that we have actually three characters here in a potential variant set. So we need to look at the relationship among all three characters, two Latin and one Cyrillic. And I need to note that because of transitivity property, if these two variant relationships are included, that means that the two Latin copoints are going to be considered variants as well.
We have Meiko raise hand.
Meiko, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to point out that in the case of the label generation rules for Arabic scripts, we had similar cases where we even had more than just three letters in a variant group. So, yes, I don't think it should be a technical problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. That's correct. That is not a technical problem. It's just something that we need to note. So my personal opinion is that on the first case, in light of the second one, I mean, the second one, I think, clearly is my point of view, in some cases, a score of two, nearly identical, whereas in the first case, I see clearly that those copoints are distinguishable. So in my view, I find the first set objectionable, whereas the second one acceptable. Michael, is that a new hand?
Oh, sorry, no, I forgot lowering it. But I understand your view. I don't think it's essentially wrong, and we could argue in this line. I think including the first set as a variant set is a more conservative strategy, because if you look at this modifier on the right-hand side and consider the way you have, like, horizontal limitations or delimiters of the letter shape on top of it on the left and right hand side, for example, in the third pair, I think those differences really are negligible. Like, you have to have actually good glasses to see the difference, like in the third pair, I would say, where both reviewers have opted for two. And if we take a conservative approach, I think we should opt for including that instead of excluding, although in many other fonts, there may be a visual difference. Thank you.
So I need to, because in the name on grounds of conservatism, we might go into a very dangerous situation where we put everything on a Abelian set because there's some kind of negligible difference. And I think we need to get around the criteria we define in Brussels after we receive the EIP feedback, and based on that work on defining the variant set that we have. Bill, your hand's up.
Yes, I don't actually have a problem with our ending up with a fairly large number of inscript variants. I don't think we're going to come anywhere near having all of the instances of a particular letter plus diacritics be variants or even confusables. I would say the substantial majority will not be, but if we have a relatively large number of variants, well, we didn't design the letters that are used in the various Latin alphabets. We're just trying to deal with the reality that that faces us. Thank you.
So we need to deal with, let me add this. So we need to deal with, yes, I mean, there's, we don't control font designs, types, et cetera, and the evolution of scripts and how certain code points in different scripts are identical or not, or confusable or not. But we were given a very specific, clear procedure as to how to deal with those differences. And the procedure is clear that confusability, not in a scope, that's led for a string similarity review panel to deal with those cases. So we need to focus on, and the integration panel has been very clear on that, focus on homoglyphs, identical glyphs, and that will be suffice the premise of our work. Yes, Bill.
I don't think the integration panel has been clear that we must only focus on homoglyphs at all. I have spoken with members of the integration panel and discussed various examples, and they said quite clearly, nope, those are variants. Nobody can tell them apart. The particular case in point had to do with the Brev and the Charon over various letters. And there was no question in their minds that that was sufficiently similar to be a variant. But they're absolutely not homoglyphs. Nobody would argue that they are. So I don't think that what the integration panel told us is what you're claiming they told us.
Mirjana?
I want to go back to the problem we are discussing now. We have two cases, letter U with horn and dot below, and Latin small letter U with dot below and some Cyrillic counterparts. We have to take some kind of decision. Should we include all of them and see the reaction? One side from IP, the other side from Cyrillic generation panel. And I don't think that we shall make a big mistake if we include both these cases at this moment and see what will be the comments first by IP, then after that we shall have public comments, and finally we have to agree with Cyrillic panel. So we cannot make a big mistake including both of them. I mean both cases. Because last time we agreed to include letter U with horn and dot below and with small letter D. And now we have a case which is for me more closer to our Mark 2 than the previous one. That's, at least that's my proposal for this situation. So, any other opinions about it? Because we should go strictly one by one through all those variants as much as we can do today. So it will be good if we finish Cyrillic and Latin and Greek and whatever is on the table.
Thank you, Mirjana. I don't have a direct response to your question, but I want to go back and address Bill's statement and say that I disagree with what he said. The IP has not only told us what they expect us to do, what the definition of homoglyph is, again, during the Brussels meeting, but also they have provided written feedback as well in at least two times. So, Bill, if you have different information, please present that to the panel in written form, not just they told me so. That's not helpful at all.
We have
hello.
Yep.
Hello.
I just want
to finish the discussion about these cross-crit variants in Cyrillic, and after that we shall have continue with other points which are on the table. So let's postpone this discussion. What was one and what was another hearing of IP, which it will come in the discussion later. Now we have to focus on this cross-crit analysis, Latin Cyrillic. Is there any other opinion about this letter U with horn and U with dot below and the letter in Cyrillic? So it seems that we don't have agreement about this.
So Mirjana, I think you said that we, in the matter of these two cases, we dismiss, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard you, we should, in light of these two cases, we should dismiss the one with horn and dot below and include the U with dot below.
No, my opinion was that to include both, but if the panel disagrees, I am okay with it. Because it won't be any harm if we include both of these, and we have time in the future, if we get some more input, we can dismiss, we can exclude one of those combinations. NATO said that they had similar case in Arabic panel and that it is not a problem. So that's my opinion. Let's hear what the other people have to say about this specific case. Bill?
What I am hearing is I think they're variants. You think we should include them. Hazim thinks we should include them. Mikhail thinks we should include them. And on the other side, Dennis thinks we shouldn't. That's not universal agreement.
No,
pretty strong consensus.
No, I didn't hear that Dennis said anything about it. At least I didn't understand it in this way. Dennis, what is your opinion? You think we should exclude one of those two cases? Is it your opinion? Sorry, maybe I missed something.
Well, in my view, the U without below is a stronger case than the horn and dot below, based on the only reason they are being included is because something they are similar, and that's the only evidence. going contrary to our own criteria. We're ignoring IT's feedback or guidance. And, I mean, if the consensus is we include the three characters in the set, that's where we need to go. But, I mean, I think we're just stepping, we're going against what we have agree on.
Michael Hassan, please. Will you? Michael is saying something.
I can say something if you need it. I was trying to put my view in a chat box. I was.
Yeah, I'm trying to be. Yes, thank you.
So I think we should go case by case. And so far, we have gone for a majority decision. As I tried to say earlier, I think we keep having these discussions because we have conceptual differences. These conceptual differences, in my view, stem from the fact that we don't have salient and coherent different definitions of the terms we are dealing with. So we have different conceptions of what means visual similarity and what means homoglyph and what means identical by design, because these conceptions are certainly not identical in between, for example, linguistics and IT. So I was just giving an example in the chat box where I was pointing out that the visual differences we are seeing here, for example, between the pair we just discussed, 025B and 0454 do not fulfill the criteria of not making them a homoglyph, because originally these were precisely identical by design. So the minute the small differences we are seeing between the letter shapes are actually stylistic variations which have developed over centuries, but originally these were the same characters. So from an historic point of view, these are identical by design. Therefore, they would be homoglyphs. And that is the problem, that you always have to think about evolution. And the evolution does not just happen historically before there was computer use, but it's still imprinted in the way we teach and learn to read and to write. And this is why these confusions occur, and this is also why people have some idea of what a letter, what kind of variation can occur in the way we write or read a letter, and what way cannot occur. I hope that's somehow clear. Thank you.
So it is not easy. I was trying to follow Michael's explanation, but it was a little bit difficult for me to follow it, although he was saying very clearly what he thinks. But I still don't understand. Yes, you are right. We don't have precise definitions. What you have just explained. We are trying to cope somehow with the problems we have, and we have to make some conclusions, although some of them would not satisfy all persons. But in this specific case, I think we shall not make any big mistake if we include both of them, although the previous one, I mean, this one, which is letter U with horn and dot below, and small letter G, is between 3 and 2. In one font, they are very similar. In the other font, they are very different. So, I don't know what to say. But we have to make some kind of decision. If we don't agree all to this, maybe we can drop this first example and include the second one and proceed with this, because I don't think that we can, in this situation with these people on the call, we cannot resolve the problem.
Mirjana, I think the consensus is that it's include this to refer the IP to design.
Yeah, it will be another solution, yeah. And we can drop it easily after that, because it won't go out of the, public until we resolve all the comments which we receive, which we shall receive from IP.
Okay. So
okay,
moving on to the next one is Latin small letter X with Cyrillic letter H with the sender.
Dennis, can you give the number?
I see the
0078.
I think it's still, you have to scroll up. There you go. Yeah, at the bottom of your page. Yeah.
Latin small letter X with Syrian small letter H with the sender. Yeah, those marks are made by me and Michael, and maybe I'm not the right person to decide what is similar, what is not, because for me those two letters are completely different. Even in 12 points. But let's hear what Michael has to say.
I don't think Mako has any input. It just Bill disagrees with the exclusion of it.
Sorry?
This is Bill. I was just saying what we have here is a rating of 2 and a rating of 3. That's a disagreement. And what I didn't understand was how we had a resolution of exclude when we hadn't talked about it yet. Thank you.
My opinion that it is because we have more trees than food, but
Mariana, we had already decided we would look at each of the three fonts, and if for one of those fonts we both had a 2, and for the other two fonts, we both had a 3. That would be 4 threes and 2 twos, but it was 2 twos. It was consensus, and we would go with that.
Yes, please, Dennis.
No, I have Michael. Michael, go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. I was just trying to say that my personal reason for giving this kind of rating is what probably in your terms would be visual confusability. That is, the visual differences in some fonts are just too small to tell apart. Particularly, I think in the third case, you need quite good eyes to make that out visually. And now I on my screen, I would have to zoom in to see it clearly. So I don't think they are homoglyphs in the sense that they are conceptually identical. There is a modifier on the right-hand side. There's not a modifier on the left-hand side. But I think the difference is within the same scope as, for example, the what Bill had mentioned earlier, the brev marker versus the, what's it called, circumflex, like the inverse. Hot check on top. Karen, that's it in English. Thank you.
So, the next interview is Hassan.
Hassan, go ahead. Please come close to your mic.
Okay, there's no nothing against the clue.
Okay.
Okay, is this better?
That's better, thanks.
Okay, better now?
Yes,
okay. I think there's nothing against including them because, especially if six letters come before the dot of a domain, of the domain name, of second level and first level. So they can't be confusable. If the Cyrillic one used in the middle of the word of the domain name, it can be confused as if there is a dot in between. Especially the first and the third one.
Yeah, so you are bringing a point that is not relevant for a top-level domain name, right? Or not even second-level domain name. You are talking about mixing scripts using Latin and Cyrillic, and that cannot happen. So when looking at this and thinking about stability, or you have to think about this, this is going to be using a top-level domain name where you cannot mix scripts in a single label.
Okay.
Right. It's not like somebody could, for example. Go ahead.
Yes, I understand. I understand what you mean. Yes, I understood what you mean. Yes. Maybe my case is only in the second level, not in the top level.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so how do we resolve this?
This is Bill. I believe we've resolved it that we would include both, and if there, we would include this one, and if the IP is feels like it's plenty different enough not to be variants, then they can tell us.
And also, it should be in the future. Cyrillic panel should be consulted, and this stage, if IP left it like this, we shall hear things of Cyrillic GP, and we can make some reasonable agreement about it.
Okay,
that's the similar situation which we have with the and yeah.
So this is going in?
Yeah, okay. Do we have more things to discuss?
Yes. We move forward to 1EF9, Latin small letter Y with tilde against Cyrillic letter U with macron. So here the difference is two different modifiers or tildes, like diacritic, how do you call it? So we have three by Michael, threes by me, we have twos by Bill, twos by Michael. So there is a tie. We need Hatem and Marjana to weigh in. hold your boat, Bill.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, looking like Mirjana speaking.
Yeah, Mirjana, go ahead.
When I look those letters side by side, I see the difference. I mean, that thinking about discussion which Michael had in the previous cases, I think the confusion can be very. These two letters can make confusion, although they are not the same size. I would agree to include it also and to see the future development of the cross, because it is more conservative approach than to exclude it. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Mirjana. Hassan?
Hassan, if you are speaking, you are still on mute.
Yes. Okay. Yes, hear me?
Yeah, now we hear you.
Yes. So, you can hear me now? Okay, that's it. I don't know, every time I switch the mic off, the volume turns to the lower. I don't know why. So, they look the same, but the Cyrillic one looks more like, for me, from when I look more to it, it looks like a V was something from below. Yeah, I mean, it's shorter than the Latin one. So when maybe it looks like what? Maybe we could include it too. Include it and see the.
Okay, resolving a situation.
So I was including it. Including it for now, yes.
Thank you, Hassan. You can mute your phone now. Thanks.
Okay, what is the next one?
Do we have more? In this case, more.
So,
Dennis, are we done with Cyrillic Latin cross script variants?
Sorry, Mirjana, I was speaking and I didn't realize I was on mute. I was saying
yeah. The
Latin small letter Y and the small letter straight U was excluded from this set because of this belongs to the case of confusability with uppercase letters. But Bill and Michael are challenging that decision. So how do we go with this one? Sorry, Mirjana, go ahead.
No, I can't find it. Sorry.
Which
one?
Latin small letter Y 0079.
Y with three small letters straight, U.
Correct, yes.
And can't you see it? Look. But they are, well, they are smaller letters, the bold. I don't understand the problem here. Sorry. They are not commonly.
So it was excluded based on the, so all of, this is one of the cases where a Latin small letter is compared to what appears to be its uppercase counterpart. And that's why it was excluded as the other case.
This is Bill. I would point out that we have a case where both Metz and Mikhail, as the two reviewers, said that this was a 2 and therefore should be included, and that you have chosen on your own to override the consensus. If you're going to do that, why did you bother to ask any of us about any?
Bill, please. We are not fighting here. We are trying to find the solution for something.
I understand, but the solution seems to be pretty manifest. We have agreement. Let us move on. We have, as you've noted, a whole lot of other things that we need to do today.
No, we shall do as much as we can, and we shall finish as fast as we can. So I don't understand the problem here. That's my problem. I see Latin small letter Y on one side and the Cyrillic small letter straight U on the other side, and I don't understand what Dennis was explaining.
So, Mirjana, well, we classify this case along with other cases where the Latin character is compared against what looks like the uppercase counterpart. And categorically, we said, we decided that all of those cases are excluded from consideration. So it's the case
This is that case. Okay, I understand your explanation now. But I was not present because I have been included in variant group later. This is probably something what you have discussed before. I joined variant group, so I want to hear Michael now. Because we have one small letter on one side, one small letter on the other side. Yes, the Cyrillic small letter looks like uppercase of Latin small letter, but the both are small letters and they will appear in the LGR.
Megal, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So I think we should just drop the conception that the one which is mentioned analysis as point 2, that these are visually confusable if we mix the uppercase-lowercase distinction. Because the analysis of myself as the first reviewer, as well as the analysis of Mediana, as second reviewer, make reference to those glyphs we are seeing here. And in that case, we find them to be, we were giving them a value of 2 in 5 out of 6 forms. So even though the Cyrillic counterpart may seem to represent an uppercase Latin letter Y in some forms, it is also reminiscent of a Latin small letter Y in some forms. And the reason again for that is historical, because originally also Roman Latin script didn't have a difference between upper and lower case, and the difference between letter Y were devised at a later point in time. So I would just drop the thought that these may be variants, because they can be variants if you make one letter an uppercase form. Also in lowercase form, I think this evidence and the judgment by both Mariana and myself speaks for the fact that they are confusable in this shape just as well. Thank you.
So we have here Meika, Bill, Dennis, Hazen. Jean-Paul also joined us. Hazen, what do you think about this case? Hazen, can you?
So Cyrillic one looks more like a capital Y, not like a small one.
I didn't hear you properly, Falcon.
Again. Yes, I mean, Cyrillic one looks more like a capital Y, not like a small one.
Did anyone caught what? Yes, what?
I don't think.
Will you try to type in the chat room, please?
Mariana, Hassan said that the Cyrillic letter looks like a capital Y.
As?
Michael, is that a new hand?
No, sorry, I forgot to lower it.
Okay, just doing a time check. Actually, it's already 1 p.m. I want to be respectful of everybody's time. Can we have a quick vote that have to resolve this case? And with that, we will call it a day and regroup next week.
Yeah, we should regroup next week again, yes, because we should try to do as much as it is possible in producing variants. I hope I will finish adjustment of the report, and I'll try to put principles. Or you can try to put the principles in the report, or I'll do and you can check. We shall arrange it using email. We should fill as much as it is as we can in the report. So, it is not clear in my head what we decided about this case: Latin small letter Y and Cyrillic small letter straight U. Could someone enlighten me?
Mirjana, I don't think there is an agreement.
Okay. We shall think about it next time. Maybe some more people will join us and try help us to solve the problem. I'll ask Michael will be there, and I'll ask also Matt to be present, because it is important to finish those things. So we made the progress today. Thank you very much. I'm now closing the session, and see you in 1 week again. Please try to find time to be present on the call, because we are finishing very important things, and without finishing this, we cannot produce the final report on time. Thank you, and see you next week. Bye. Bye, all.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.